In the book of St. Matthew's Gospel, I read from the book of Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. Matthew 8, verse 28. Stand one more time with me for the reading of the Word of God. Matthew 8, verse 28. When you have it, say amen. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergeses, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding furious, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." And he said unto them, "Go." And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. Back to verse 28. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding furious, so that no man might pass that way. One other verse of Scripture found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 27, the writer says, "Neither give place to the devil." Neither give place to the devil. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. I do not wish to cross your personal theology tonight, but I do feel that I have a divine word from the Lord for us tonight. And I've always believed that a man is either totally and completely possessed of God, or he is controlled of the devil. That's the way I always believed. But in a deeper study, I realize there are people who are not saved, yet they possess a great deal of good and must be commended in unpleasant conditions, for sometimes their attitudes are better than those that say they're saved. On the other hand, I've seen those that I knew had been genuinely saved, and yet I've seen them demonstrate a great deal of evil. And even as I look at my own life, there has been times when instead of overcoming evil with good, I gave place to the devil, and good was overcome with evil. Now, it's all right to preach about myself, isn't it? Now, the Apostle Paul, in his writing to the church in Ephesus, he says, "Neither give place to the devil." He tells them not to give any area of their lives to that wicked one no place. What he's telling us, even as Christians, it is possible to give ground to the devil. But he's telling us, don't you give the devil place. Don't give him territory. Don't give him any parcel or any spot or any occasion or any locality in your life. Lest we become defiled, and instead of living in temperance and self-control, the devil gets the advantage of us. For the Bible said, lest Satan should get the advantage of us, for we're not ignorant concerning his devices. You see, you do not have to invite the devil in. All you've got to do is give place, and he'll come in on his own. It's like those of you that raise gardens. If you raise a garden, you have places probably for your tomatoes, your cucumbers, different places. But say you decide to just let your garden lay out for 1 year. You don't have to invite weeds and grass and crabgrass and all of those things to come. They just come automatically because there's a place there. And when we give place in our lives to the devil, he always takes that place. Now in our text tonight, the Bible tells us that Jesus and his disciples came over the Sea of Galilee into a country called Gergesenes. There was a city nearby called Gergesa or Gadara, both the same place. And when Jesus came ashore, there were two devil-possessed men coming out of the tombs, out of the cemetery. Now the Bible said these men were exceeding furious. It means that they were very dangerous, very furious, violent men. These two furious men were so dangerous that no man could pass that way. They controlled a territory, a place, a space of ground, and no one dared travel the road nearby. This cemetery or these tombs did not belong to those men. It belonged to the citizens of Gergesa. But it was controlled by the two furious devil-possessed men that lived in the tombs. Now I believe this cemetery belonged to the city and the citizens of the city of Gergesa, and was no doubt those tombs was their burying places. But though these men did not own it, they controlled it. Yes, I believe these tombs did belong to the citizens of the city. The road that went by where no one was allowed to pass because of these men, these devil-possessed men did not build it. It belonged to the city. Listen to me. They may have held a deed or a title to that cemetery. I do not know. But these two wild, furious, devil-possessed men controlled this road and the tombs and the cemetery, and no man could pass that way. So I come to this pulpit tonight to ask you this question. What do you own that the devil controls? What do you own that the devil controls? Help me just a little bit while I preach. Listen, I see many Christians. Yes, I said Christians. I believe they have a true experience with God. And yet for some reason, they are restricted and controlled by something that holds them hostage and keeps them from making the right decisions, that keeps them from deeper experiences in God. We see them pray up to a certain place time and time again. Oh, yes. We see them reach this place over and over. But there are roads and there are avenues that they never go down. They are certain directions the Lord wants to lead them, but they never make it. Why? Oh, yes, they own that experience. They received it. Then they received it of Jesus. But the devil controls certain areas of their life. What is it in your life? And what do you own that the devil controls? No doubt the men in the city of Gergesa or Gadara were fishermen. And they probably made their living fishing there in the Sea of Galilee. This no doubt was a road that led down to the sea. But because of these two furious devil-possessed men, they had to take a different road and go to the sea a different way. Made them go around the long way instead of taking the short way. And how many times in the church have I seen us have to go the long way around whenever we should be able to go straight to the blessings of God. But because of the enemy of our souls and because of that spirit that wants to have control, amen, it makes us go a long ways around. Listen to what I tell you. They have to change their route and go a different way. They own that road, but these demon, devil-possessed men control it. And so many Christians, they know the road that leads to victory, but something is forcing them to take a different route. Oh, they own the promise of victory, but they have to go a different way. And let me tell you something, preachers, the devil does not own the church, but sometimes he tries to control it. Hallelujah. The next time the devil comes to you, pastor, and tries to control something in your church, you say, ask him, hey, devil, do you own this church? If you do, let me see the nail prints in your hands. Let me see where the wound in your side. Let me see where you paid the price. If you don't own it, you're not going to control it. It belongs to the Lord and the blood-bought saints of God. Hold on, I'm going to preach to you here. Oh, listen to me. Oh, I can, in my own commentary now, I can see a little boy come up to his dad and says, Daddy, you know what tomorrow is? It's Memorial Day. Could we go down to the tombs and put a bouquet of flowers on Mama's grave and put some flowers on Grandpa and Grandma's grave? Well, son, you know we can't do that. Why? Because of those two devil-possessed men down there. But Daddy, isn't that our cemetery? Don't we own those tombs? Isn't Mama buried there? Isn't Grandma and Grandpa buried there? Yes, yes, we own it, but they're in control of it. Hear me now, I'm getting ready to start preaching to you here shortly. I'm talking to you that from this small piece of territory, from this place that the devil had set up his domain, oh yes, he could control the actions of the entire city. No man could pass that way because of these devil-possessed men. Hear what I'm telling you. You allow one church member to control the church, and it's going to hinder the entire working of the church. You hear what I'm telling you? It'll stop the altar service. The altars will be barren. If you allow one sin in your life, ma'am or sir, here's what's going to happen. Because of that place that you give the devil, all of the blessings of God are going to be hindered and stopped. Even though you do not want to live for the Lord full-heartedly, you still not living for God all with all of your heart, then you give place to the devil. The devil's going to set up his domain and take full control of you in time. Listen, let's get down to preaching here. Give the devil one spot. And he can control everything. Boy, I love the way the Bible directs women in the Word of God. I really believe they have their place in the church. I believe they have their place in the Word of God. Oh, yes, I do. And any man that's worth the salt that goes into his bread, if his wife goes through what my wife went through the last year, he should stand by her side, honor her, oh, yes, and give her all of the attention he can give her. But I'm going to tell you something. You can't let her control everything. Hallelujah. Boy, it's getting quiet here. But God has an order. You can find it in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, an order that God laid out. Oh, the head of every man, the head of every woman is the man, and the head of man is Christ, and Christ is the head of the church. That's the order that God laid out. Hear me. You might as well say to the devil, you do control a small area of my life, but the rest of me is doing pretty good. Hallelujah. Listen, you cannot give place to the devil. Listen to me. The devil wants to control your thought life. Oh, it's yours. Your thoughts are yours. And you say, but the devil does control me sometimes with evil thoughts, but I do dress good. Hey, you can win the battle of holiness in the arena of dress and lose it right up here in your mind if you let the devil have place up there. Am I preaching right? Hallelujah. You can lose it right there. You say, well, how can I get control of my thoughts? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down evil imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You don't have to think those evil thoughts. You can get victory over those evil thoughts. What do you own that the devil controls? Listen to me. I'm not willing to give him any area of my life. Some time ago, they tell me, an older man attending my church told me this story. He said, right here in Norman, Oklahoma, said a store put up a tent and was having an appliance sale, a tent sale. Said a man come by, stuck his arm in the tent and grabbed a toaster and run. They saw him, they overcame him, caught him red-handed, took the toaster away and had him arrested. When he went to court, they said he represented himself. And the judge said, how do you plead? He said, not guilty. And the judge said, well, sir, we have testimonies here and witnesses that saw you take that toaster. He said, no, I didn't take it. He said, my arm and hand took it. I never was inside that tent. Said, it wasn't me. It was my arm and hand. I'm not responsible. According to Brother George Rohn that used to attend my church, he said, the old judge said, all right, if you're not responsible, we'll just lock your arm and hand up for 30 days and you can go on and do whatever you want to do. Let me tell you something. We're responsible for our actions. If you give place to the devil, you cannot point at this man. You cannot point at anyone in the church. The reason you are backslid, sir, the reason you left the house of God, the reason you're out of the ark of safety, if you one time was here, you gave place to the devil. Hallelujah. I'm reminded of the Old Testament story of Shammah in 2 Samuel 23 and 11. The Bible said the Philistines had gathered into a troop and all the people fled, but not Shammah. You know what he did? Oh, yes. He stood right in that patch of lentils, right in that field of lentils, right in the midst of it. You see, we got too many preachers that stand on the edge of it. But this man got right in the midst of it, right in the middle, and he defended his lentils. Oh, yes, he did. Somebody probably hollered, let him have it. Let him have it, Shammah. It's just some beans. But he says, if I give them my beans, they'll take my corn. And if I give them my corn, they'll take my watermelons. I'm going to stand right here and defend this place. And you hear me? Every one of us as gospel preachers and ministers of the Word of God and every child of God, we've got a field to defend. Hey, let's don't give place to the devil. You know what Shammah did? He slew 23 men up there. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, he won the victory. And all the enemy went to flight. Hear what I'm telling you tonight. We need somebody that's willing to stand their ground for the Lord. You say, well, Brother Rich, what about our temperament? What about our feelings? They're yours, but who controls them? Huh? Who controls them? He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city without walls. Oh, yes, you've got to have some rule over your spirit. Once in a while, something comes by that makes me angry. But I got to rule my spirit. I cannot give place to the devil. If I do, I'll fall back into that old lifestyle I used to live, and I'll come out fighting like a buzzsaw. But oh, listen, I don't want to fall back there. But if I give a place in my life to the devil, hey, he will overcome me. What about your talents? Those that sing, they're yours. Oh yes, but who controls them? Are you singing for the glory of God? Or are you singing, oh, just because you're wanting recognition? Listen, it's your talents, but who's in control? All right, what about your sexuality? It's yours. It belongs to you. It was given to you by God. It's given for the progeny of the human race and to enhance the marriage. But I want everyone to hear what I'm telling you right now. All sexual activity outside the bond of holy matrimony is a deadly sin that will doom your soul to hell. The Bible said in the 13th chapter of Hebrews, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Don't give place to the devil. Sure, there's many temptations. There's many things that go by. But we cannot afford to fall into under peer pressure of this world that has gone hog wild, if you'll pardon the expression, over sex and over the many temptations. Somebody said they was down on the street and they saw a woman in a dress. See that quite a bit in Panama. You see it in big cities like Brother Shaney felt Chicago and other cities. It's not unusual to see these dressers that dress both ways. Oh yeah, cross dressers. And it's not unusual to see them dressed like women. And this guy, this old preacher, said that he backed that fellow up against the wall. He said, "Why are you wearing that dress?" He said, "Because I wore it to work and some of the fellows liked it." And he said, I used to be the only one. Now there's three or four wearing dresses. The preacher said, "Listen, don't you know that God's going to bring you into judgment?" According to the story, he looked this old preacher in the face, said, "I know the church you pastor. I know some of your members. You go up there and get your women out of the men's pants and Levi's and then come down here and get this dress off of me." Don't give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. If you do, he will take advantage. Listen to me. Listen to me. How many have gardens? Would you want the devil just to have one row? How many has more than one room in your house? What if an intruder came in and said, "All I want is just one room. You can have the rest of it. I'll just take one room." If you give him that place, he'll control that house. But oh, here's what God wants. God wants us to be holy, sanctified vessels. He wants us to abstain from all appearance of evil. And he said the very God of peace would sanctify you wholly. He said, "I pray, God, that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Hey, sanctification means set apart, separated, dedicated to God's service and God's service alone. What about the tongue, the little member, boasting great things? You own it. Who controls it? James said, 1:26 of James, he declared, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, his religion is vain." Oh, this little member, it's a small member, but it has power to set on fire the course of nature. Oh, it's small, but it can defile the whole body. Listen to me as I preach. What about your marriage, sir? You own it. You probably have a license, but who controls that marriage? Are you letting the devil control it, or is love in control? Hallelujah. Well, I didn't know it'd get this quiet in a holiness church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, it's your marriage. You got the license tacked on the wall. But how about it? Who's in control? Who's ruling that marriage? Who's got control of it? It's yours. You shouldn't let the devil control it. But we have a great multiplicity of divorces today. And the reason there are so many divorces and broken homes and little children crying and running up and down the streets weeping, warning mama, some warning daddy. It's because somebody gave place to the devil, and the devil got in the home and destroyed the home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's hard to get control. Oh, yes. What about that television you have in your home? You own it. You got the bill of sale on it. But who controls it? You'll have to agree with me. For most part, an unchristian has control of the television. You'll have to agree with me, amen, that over these televisions come things that will provoke you to lust and evil. Who's in control? An unchristian world is in control. Hallelujah. Come on now. Is that all right, Brother King, to preach a little holiness down here? Hallelujah. An unchristian world is in control. You say, oh, I just got mine for the news. Well, that newsman sometimes wears a cowboy hat, pistols on his side, and many other things. Oh, listen to this old preacher man. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Oh, somebody's going to get upset here, but I'm going to tell you something. Amen. The devil's in control. You said, I got mine to watch your religious programs. Oh, no. Don't watch those phonies on the television set. If you must watch it, watch some shoot 'em up bang bangs. But don't watch them false preachers that do not know what holiness is all about. Hallelujah. I've never had a television in my home, but now they're becoming prominent. And this internet and all of these things on the websites, it's corrupting our nation. It's breaking up homes. It's time somebody who was not afraid to preach the gospel stood up against the evil, the pornography, and the sins that's on those things. Say, we're not going to give you no offering. Keep your money, but I'm going to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach the truth. I've never owned a television. Never had one in my home. But if I had one in my home, I'll tell you what I'd do. As soon as I got home, I'd load that thing up in my old van. I'd load it up and I'd haul it down to the river. I'd take a chopping axe with me and a shotgun. I'd shoot it, and then I'd chop it up in little tiny pieces. And I'd throw it up and down the banks of the river. And then I'd get down on my hands and knees and apologize to the skunks and the rats and the other varmints for bringing such a filthy mess into their home. You own it. Who controls it? Too tight? Hallelujah. Too tight? I'm telling you, it's time we got back to living the straight life. And it's time we quit letting Satan have a place in our homes and in our lives. Say, well, I got one for my children. That's the worst thing you could give them. You're not going to always be there. You say, well, I control what they watch. Are you there all the time? And even if you are, my mother-in-law and father-in-law had a television. Sometimes visiting them, we would be there and they'd have the television on, and they probably guarded that television closer than anybody I know. But once in a while, just a commercial, and some half-naked woman would come out. Oh yes, advertising. I'm telling you folks, neither give place to the devil. I'm going to leave that now and move on. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Listen to me. How did the people of Gergesa or Gadara reclaim their territory? How did they get control of that back into their control? How did they get everything back underneath them instead of in the control of these two devil-possessed men? Well, one day, a little boat was making its way to the coast of Gadara. And on this boat was a man called Jesus. And when he stepped out on the bank there that day, the Bible tells us these two men ran and fell at his feet. I can hear one say to the other, "We're not in control no more. There's a stronger than the strong man here. We're not in control any longer. Someone else has come that has more power." And they fall down at his feet and they said, "We know thee who thou art. You're the Holy One of God." And they begged him not to cast them out into the deep, but to let them go into a herd of swine. He permitted it to be so. And that whole herd of swine, come on, country boys, they committed suicide. Hallelujah. Ran off that hill, oh yes, and into the sea and perished. What I'm telling you, they got control through Jesus Christ. Now some of you, you're letting the devil control your life. You're letting him control your wardrobe. You're letting him, oh yes, in the Holiness Church, I find that many people have two wardrobes. One they wear to the house of God. The one they wear out on the streets. One they wear on their job. One they wear down on the beach. Uh-huh. Two different wardrobes. Oh, yes. We see it out in our country. That's supposed to be a Bible belt where we're at. But we see people with two different wardrobes. But hear what I'm telling you tonight. You cannot let Satan tell you what to wear. You cannot let your friends tell you what to wear. Ladies, listen. It's just as wrong for you to put on Levi's and to put on pants as it is for men to put on a lady's garment. Hallelujah. And surely none of you men are sissies enough to put on a woman's garment, are you? Amen. Going around, listen, looking like little girls. I see this effeminate spirit coming into our churches, into the Holiness Churches. I'm telling you what the Bible said in the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He says the effeminate shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You don't have to be involved in homosexual activity. Just be effeminate. I told my son, I said, "Leon, you come in here talking like a girl." I said, "I'm going to go down and get me some double-aught sandpaper. I'll send your throat out every morning till you can talk like a man." Hallelujah. Listen, this spirit, this homosexual spirit, I'd rather say sodomites. They hate that word. They don't mind you calling them gay, but when you call them sodomites, they don't like that word. Can you imagine two men marrying each other, or two women getting so low that they marry each other and they call it gay marriage? I'll tell you what it's going to do. God's already destroyed one economy because of this sin, and it's hastening the day of the judgment of a holy God upon this nation. And you know what? The church must set the standards. We cannot let Hollywood set the standards. We cannot let the designers set the standards. We must set the standards. Sometimes I go into churches, Brother Jordan. I see ladies come in, got on pantsuits. They are so tight, they look like bullfighters out of old Mexico. They're speaking in some kind of a tongue and claiming to have the gifts. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. "Ye that bear the vessels of the Lord, be ye clean. Be ye clean." Hallelujah. Sometimes you ladies ought to be smarter than this. You know you cannot put a mattress into a pillowcase. Hallelujah. If you got to wear them big enough so you can get into them. Hallelujah. Let me Let me move on with my message. I'm talking about giving place to the devil. The reason we see so much world in the church. The reason we see jewelry coming into the church. Reason we see things up front that we used to stand against. Somebody gave place to the devil. And many churches that used to have Brother Don Rich to preach for them, the door is closed to me now because they know I will preach the truth. I do not preach this every night. I do not preach this every time I preach. But when I feel that God wants me to preach along these lines, I'll preach it. I'm not going to give place to the devil. Years ago, my brother Bill and I, we were preaching together. And I'd preach one night. He'd preach the next night. Finally, you know, people got their favorites. Some like me, some like him. So we got where we mix it up. Preach a couple nights in a row. They didn't know when to come and when to stay home. Hallelujah. But we walked into that church. And a man met us in the foyer and he said, "Oh, the Rich brothers. I've heard of you fellas. Which one of you is the best preacher?" He's talking to me. I said, "Well, if I get anointed and he don't, I'm the best preacher. But if he gets anointed and I don't, he's the best preacher." He looked at me, reached down in his coat pocket. You've heard of a roll of bills that would choke a horse. He pulled out a roll of bills. I don't know what was inside, but it's wrapped in $100 bills. And said, "This is for the man that preaches it right." So, Bill was to preach the first night. We're just brothers. We're just human. Bill preached. We had agreement. We split in offerings. When we got back to the apartment where we were staying, I said, "Okay, divide her up." He said, "I didn't get it." I said, "Well, don't worry. I'll get it tomorrow night because I'm going to preach it right." So, I preached the next night. My brother likes a lot of humor at times. We started home, he wheeled over under a street light. Said, "Now right here is a place to divide it up." I said, "I didn't get it either." We stayed there all week. It was not for the man that preached it right. It was for the man that preached it like he wanted to hear it. Now, supposing I would have found out what he would like to have heard, and I'd yielded to that, the money would have been gone, and my anointing would have been gone. And my integrity would have been gone. I'm glad I did not give place to the devil. I'm not for sale. I said, "I'm not for sale. I hope you're not. Let's preach the word. Let's preach the word. God will take care of us." So these people got control of their road, of their tombs, and their possessions by allowing Jesus to come on their road. You want to get control of your life? You want to get control once again of your personal habits? You want to get control once again of your conduct? You want to get control once again of your personal hygiene? Let Jesus come on your road. Hallelujah. I said, let Jesus come on your road. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. And I'm going to hurry and close here. Don't want to stay too long on this message. You see, in the beginning, God made man, gave him dominion over the sea, over the fowls, over the animal kingdom, and over all the earth. Oh, but one day, that old serpent called the devil, Lucifer, he got access to Eve's mind, and she gave place to him. Oh, yes. And one sin brought us all under condemnation. For the Bible said in Romans 5:12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men." Whether you realize it or not, because of Adam and Eve's sin, the death sentence was pronounced upon all of us. For we were all in the loins of Adam. Am I right? So that's why, anybody got a beautiful little baby here? Hold it up. Yeah, I see it back there. Go ahead and hold it up high. Got bad news for you and good news. Your baby's beautiful. that he's born with a sin problem. Born under the curse of sin. You'll find that out when it gets a little older. You'll see rebellion in it. Oh, I guess maybe I didn't raise no angels. I guess y'all did, but I didn't raise any angels. Oh, yes. I'm telling you, we're all fell under the curse of sin. But one day, I see a man called Jesus staggering under the weight of the cross. He makes his way up to Golgotha's hill, a place called Calvary. His back is bleeding. He's suffering very much excruciating pain. But he's going there to die for my sins and for your sins. There used to be a day when someone else controlled me. There used to be a day when I didn't have control of my own language. Used to be a day when I didn't have control of my own habit. For he ascended on high. He also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. And I can see him as he gets there and rattles the gates of hell. And the devil said, "Who's there?" I hear a voice outside saying, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory is coming in. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, for the King of glory is coming in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. You can see the devil shivering and shaking. Said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "I come to get something." You've had control of something for a long time, but it don't belong to you. You've just had control of it. Give it here. Give it back. Reluctantly, the devil pulls out the keys of death and of hell. And hands them over to the rightful owner. And Jesus said in Revelation 1:18, "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of hell." He's in control of that. Not the devil. Why do you let the devil rule your life? He don't even carry the keys to his own house. You're not going to rule my house if you don't carry the keys to your own house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, he don't have the keys to his own house anymore. The keys come away from him. And now Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he wants you to know something. And I'm getting ready to tell you. And we're getting ready to close. You have a soul. When God breathed the breath of life into man, man became a living soul. God gave you that soul. He put it in your control. The psalmist David said in the 119th Psalm, verse 109, "My soul is continually in my hand." It's your soul, but who's controlling it? You're the only one that can give your soul to the devil or give your soul to Jesus Christ. Mama may love you, but she cannot make you serve God. Daddy may pray for you and weep and cry, but he cannot make you serve God. The soul is in your hand. It's your soul. You're the only one that can make a decision. You can let Jesus on your road tonight. He will change your life. You say, "Well, I can't quit smoking. I can't quit lying. I can't quit cheating." I know you can't. But if you'll let Jesus on your road, you can quit all of these things. He'll change your life completely. Somebody come to the piano. He'll change your life completely. He'll make a new creature out of you. He'll make you different. You'll be a different man. There was a man saved a Sunday up there at Omega Church. And his wife told my wife, said he's coming Friday night. He's been a different man ever since he got saved. That's just Sunday. This is past Sunday. He makes a different person out of you. He really changes you. Who's in control? What do you own that you're allowing the devil to control? Some of these homes, you better go. If you go up and knock on the door, you better be whistling pretty loud. Let them know that you're coming. Or you'll see who's in control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just about ready to close. But I want to ask you a question tonight. How many just be honest and say, I want to serve the Lord, but there's some areas in my life that Satan has control, and I want to get full control tonight. I'm ready to let Jesus come on my road. While every head's bowed, would you lift your hand for prayer right now? Say, preacher man, pray for me. There's some areas in my life that I want Jesus to take control. Oh, I own it, but the devil controls it. Lift that hand for prayer right now, sir. Lift that hand for prayer right now, ma'am. Yes, I see that hand, son. I see that hand over there. Are there others? You'd lift your hand. Say, preacher man, yes, I see that hand, young lady. Oh, yes, I see that hand. Are there others? You'd say, Brother Rich, I'm not fully dedicated to God. I find myself giving place to the devil. And I want to get control of my life and quit letting Satan have a place in my life. Would you lift your hand quickly now? Several hands have already been lifted, but there's many more. Yes, I see that hand. Are there others? Yes, I see those hands back there, boys. Are there others? You'd lift your hand. Say, preacher man, I've got to have help. I've gone as far as I can go. I come to this meeting realizing I need help from God. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand quickly right now in Jesus' name? Yes, I see that hand, son. Are there others? You'd lift your hand. Say, Brother Rich, I need help tonight. I own some things, but Satan is controlling those things. And I want to get control through Jesus Christ. He can help you gain self-respect. He can help you get victory in your life. Is there another one? You'd lift your hand. Yes, I see that hand. Yes. Thank you, son. Are there others? A lot of children's hands going up. But there are some adults here tonight that need help. There's some of you, you've let Satan. Yes, I see your hand, young lady. I want those that lifted your hands to stand to your feet right now in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet. Come on, stand to your feet. Come on. Stand to your feet right now. Go ahead. Stand to your feet in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Come on back here, several. Raise your hands. Stand to your feet now in Jesus' name. Are there others you want to stand to your feet? Say, Brother Rich, I've got to get control of my life. Satan is overcoming me, overpowering me, and I've got to get control through Jesus Christ. You cannot do it yourself. You've got to let Him on your road. Had the people of Gergesa been able to get control, they would have routed them. Devil-possessed men out themselves, but they did not have the power. Are there others? You'd say, Brother Rich, I want to get control of my life. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 How about it, sir? How about it, ma'am? How about your life tonight? Don't let Satan wreck your life. Don't let him destroy your family. Don't let him destroy your life. Oh, hallelujah. I want those that are standing, go ahead and make your way to the altars now. Come right on into these altars. There's others here. We're all going to be standing in just a moment. Come on into these altars. Come on now. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. How about it, sir? Hallelujah. Come on in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, yes, many souls need help. Many souls need help. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now would you stand with me to your feet, everyone that will? You see, these are gathering here at this altar. We're going to need some altar workers. Hallelujah. How about it, young ladies? Have you got full control of your life? Or is there some areas that you need some help with? Lift your hand for prayer right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. How about it, young men? Come on in. As we sing, I'm going to make my way down this aisle. I'm going to be inviting you to come to this altar. Join us. Join us in prayer. Join us in prayer. What do you own that the devil controls? My God.